boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
All in the family.
And you knew where you were then.
Girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
Starring Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton. Co-starring Rob Reiner, Sally Struthers.
G-R-O-S, how red, great. Those were the days.
Executive producer Don Nickel. Produced by Michael Ross and Bernie West. Developed by Norman Lear. In her kitchen, Louise Jefferson packs up a carton and sets it on the floor by the back door.
Hi, Louise.
Oh, hi, Edith.
I just came over to say goodbye.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, Edith. You know this is the fourth time this morning.
Oh, yeah, I know. I guess it's got something to do with... I hate to see you go.
I'm going to miss you, Edith. I think I'm even going to miss Archie.
You know, I think Archie is going to miss George, too.
He will?
Oh, yeah. I didn't think Archie would want to give last night's farewell party, but when I asked him, he said, sure, I'd love to say goodbye to George Jefferson.
Isn't that interesting? George said the same thing about Archie.
Please, I just... Oh, hi again, Edith.
Oh, hi.
Haven't you finished packing yet?
I'd be finished a lot quicker if you would help me.
Why? You're the one that's going to be doing the unpacking. Now, if I was to do the packing, you wouldn't know where anything was. So, actually, I am helping you by not helping.
Well, maybe I'm in the way. I'll come back later and say goodbye. Goodbye.
George, I've been thinking, maybe we are not doing the right thing by moving.
You know something, Louise? I've been doing a lot of thinking, too.
You have?
Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking, why the hell don't you leave the thinking up to me?
Because at your age, it's too late to start something new. George, moving to East Side Manhattan with all those fancy folks.
Money is what makes them fancy. Now we're going to be fancy, too. Look, tomorrow I'm opening my third cleaning store, then there'll be a fourth, fifth, and sixth. We're on our way up. What are you worried about?
I'm afraid of going where I don't belong.
Look, when you got the money, baby, you belong.
George, we are just plain folks.
No, not anymore. See, we was plain folks $47,000.50 ago.
Louise resumes wrapping her china.
But George, East Side Manhattan, those are not my kind of people.
So if you get lonely, we'll bust in some of your friends. Except for Honky next door.
Why is it my white friends are Honky and your white friends are Mister?
What white friends?
Those guys you've been taking to lunch all week. If they are black, I'm Doris Day.
Look, those guys work at Whittendale National Bank, and bankers ain't nobody's friends. Look, I want them to get me in to see old man Whittendale himself so I can hit on him for my business loan.
I don't get it. If we're supposed to be so rich, why do we need to borrow money?
Because that's the way rich people operate. Look, banks don't make loans to people who need money. That's what pawn shops are for.
George turns on his heel and walks out.
Louise, I brought you some fruit for your trip.
We're only going to Manhattan.
Well, subways break down sometimes.
Both stifle emotion.
Well, Edith, I guess this is really goodbye.
I know. Well, I'll just say so long.
So long, Edith.
Edith starts for the door, then stops.
Louise, did I ever tell you I love you?
Every minute we've spent together.
They embrace warmly.
You'd better go now, before the both of us get awful wet.
Bye, Louis.
Edith stops in the doorway and turns back.
I mean, so long.
With a final wave, she leaves. Louise dabs her eyes.
What seems to be the holdup in here?
You still haven't finished packing yet?
Just one more thing. Your coffee mug.
I won't be drinking out of mugs no more.
George tosses it.
From now on, it's cups and saucers all the way. Come on, Louise, the limousine's ready.
George inspects the contents of a box.
Limousines? Have you gone crazy? What do we need a limousine for?
Because we're going to leave Bunkersville in style. Come on, Wheezy. Things are looking good for us. Look, you deserve the best. And that's exactly what you're going to get. The best. Okay?
He grabs the box.
Here.
He drops it in her arms and walks out. Later, Lionel Jefferson shows his girlfriend Jenny into the family's new apartment.
Oh, Lionel, I love what your folks have done with the apartment.
Now, you like the furniture, huh?
Oh, yes.
And you happy with the view?
Yeah.
So then we're all through with the apartment.
Yeah.
Good, let's fool around.
As they sink onto the couch, Louise walks in.
Uh-oh. Vice squad.
Hello, Jenny.
Hi, Mrs. Jefferson.
Right in here.
Where shall I put these?
In the kitchen.
The concierge carries two cartons.
All right. Just put them down. I'll take care of them later.
Let him handle it, Louise. I'm tipping him for the full trip. In the kitchen, please. What are you doing here? I thought you had school.
Oh, well, I was just showing Jenny around.
Uh-huh. Well, look, I found the apartment. I'll conduct the tours, okay? Here you go.
George tips him.
See? You do right by me, I'll do right by you.
Oh, I'll do all right by you, all right. Yes, sir, sir.
The concierge bumps the furniture on his way out.
You hear that? Yes, sir. Hey!
George runs to the door.
There's plenty more where that came from. I own a new cleaning store downstairs.
Yes, sir, sir.
George steps back inside.
All right, everybody. Stay right where you are.
Remember the hard times we had when we first got married and living 126 in Lenox? And there were four families sharing one John? Remember?
I sure do.
Well, everybody, now here it is.
George runs from the room.
One.
He disappears down the hall. He jogs back to the living room.
His and hers.
And then into the foyer.
How about that? Four Johns, no waiting.
Jenny and Lionel chuckle, and Louise grins.
Lionel, let's face it. Your mother married a four-flusher. Come on, Jenny, let me show you around. First, we'll start with the commodious sleeping quarters.
You think Pop will ever get around to liking Jenny's parents?
Oh, sure he will. The day her white father turns black. And this here is the living area where we does our living. And here we have the dining area where we does our dining. And through this door is the kitchen area.
Where we does our kitchening.
Oh, yeah, Jenny, let me show you the terrace. We keep it hanging right outside.
Oh.
Yeah, you're gonna love it here, Wheezy.
I love it there.
With all those nosy neighbors. Now, see, here, your neighbors know how to act like perfect strangers, you see. You don't have to say hello to nobody.
And nobody says hello to you.
Right. No pushy neighbors ringing the doorbell every 5 minutes.
George, do you hear the doorbell, or do we live next door to a church?
That's not nice. Come in.
Hello. I'm your next door neighbor, actually.
Louise is Mr. Actually.
That's jolly good. Now, I'm Harry Bentley.
Hi, we're the Jeffersons. Come in, Mr. Bentley.
How do you do? A lovely apartment, this.
George, move.
Let me guess, Mr. Jefferson, you must be 10 stone.
Did you say I was stone?
I don't think so.
I am sorry. I keep forgetting to speak American.
That's it? You're English, aren't you?
Yes, I'm afraid so. Actually, I was trying to guess your weight. 10 stone is 140 pounds.
Well, I weigh 145.
Smashing. It couldn't be better. Do me a little favor, will you?
What kind of favor?
Take a little walk on the small of my back, would you?
Bentley lies on the carpet.
Say what?
And please, take your shoes off first. There's a good fellow.
Well, you wanted to move up to the east side. Take a walk.
Removing his shoes, George steps over to Bentley. And onto his back.
That's it. Oh, yes. That's it. Yes. Well, that's heavy.
Any particular reason why we're doing this?
It's the only thing that seems to help my back. Oh, marvelous. It's working. It's working. It worked. Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. You have kind feet. Well, anything I can do for you, don't hesitate to ring my bell. Bye-bye.
Bentley lets himself out.
What the hell was that? George, I believe you were right about this place after all. Imagine an English neighbor.
Bentley reappears.
Good God, you're black.
Something wrong with that?
Oh, no, I just didn't notice before. Well, Jambo.
Did you say Sambo?
Jambo, it's Swahili. Actually, it means hello. I never can remember the word for goodbye.
He walks out again. George closes the door.
Find out the word for goodbye in Swahili. The next time he or anybody else rings that doorbell, use it. And while you're at it, teach it to Lionel so he can use it on his girlfriend and her parents, Mr. Day and Mrs. Knight.
George sits on the couch and puts his shoes back on.
George, the Willises are fine people. Now, just because he happened to be white...
It ain't just that. I wouldn't like him even if he was black. Which I'm glad he ain't, since I don't like him.
Why?
Because he's too friendly. He's one of them touchy-feely guys. Like a great big white polar bear, always grabbing, hugging, and squeezing.
Well, I think the Willises are warm, lovely people, and I like them.
And do it long distance, because I don't want them in here.
Hey, Mr. Jefferson. Thanks a lot for showing me this apartment. And I gotta be going.
Oh, what a shame. Louise, if that's Mr. Swahili again, you walk on his back this time. I know he won't be ready for that.
Louise opens the door to a mixed-race couple.
There they are, Tom. I told you they'd arrive.
Surprise, everybody! Louise!
Look, George, the Willises.
What are you two doing in this neighborhood?
We live here.
Yeah.
Live where?
Right upstairs, 20th floor.
Say what?
I said we're going to be neighbors.
Hi, neighbor.
Here it comes.
Tom hugs George.
Imagine all of us living in the same building. Isn't it a small world?
Too small. Lionel, I want to speak to you in the kitchen now.
Excuse me, I think something's boiling over.
Maybe I squeezed him too hard, huh?
Not hard enough, Tom. He's still breathing.
Why didn't you tell me they live here?
Why didn't you ask me?
You mean to tell me I gotta ask you if the sky is falling before you tell me?
George, you keep your voice down. We have got guests.
No, we don't. We got trespassers.
Did you hear that, Tom?
Come on. Give Mr. Jefferson a chance. Well, after all, you did come here without warning. He just wasn't prepared.
His mouth was. I've never seen such a prepared mouth.
Now, Helen, you've got to be more tolerant. Just say to yourself, the man's an idiot and we have to make allowances.
Go
here.
George marches up to Helen.
Now, look. We came down here in the spirit of friendship.
Then that's a good way for you to leave, in the spirit of friendship.
Now, look here, shorty.
What are you calling shorty?
Helen towers over George.
She don't mean me.
I'm warning you. There's only one side my wife can be on. That's either my side or outside.
Why can't we all be on the same side?
Right.
Yeah, that's right, Pop, because they are going to be your in-laws, so why don't you try getting along?
Okay, son. You really want to get along?
You bet.
Okay.
George smiles at Helen, then Tom.
Well, I tried it, and I don't like it. So why don't you just move out of the building?
What?
Sure, it's only fair. Do you know how much trouble I had getting into this building? The only reason I got in here was because I had enough green to cover my black. Now, see, you white, you can get in any place you want. All you have to do is hide your wife in a wood pile until the lease is signed.
Helen stares daggers at the back of George's head.
Well, here's a message from the wood pile. If anybody's moving, it's you, shorty.
Okay, if that's the way you want it, that's the way it's gonna be. We'll move.
George, where are you going?
Where you can't follow.
He slams the bathroom door.
George, come out of there.
I ain't coming out till they leave.
Come on, let's go.
The Willises head for the door. Helen taps at the bathroom.
We'll see ourselves out. Don't bother to get up.
Lionel, you better go to your room. I don't want you to get hit by your father.
Why is he gonna hit me?
Because I'm not sure where I'm going to throw him.
Louise pounds the bathroom door.
All right, George, they've gone.
George saunters out of the bathroom.
You know, I've seen you act dumb before. But now I'm convinced. You wasn't acting.
Whatever you say, Louise. Whatever you say.
Huh?
I'm a beaten man, Louise. If you want to kick a man when he's down, go ahead.
What are you talking about?
It's all over. All my plans, all my dreams, all that dope down the drain.
Oh, come off it, Pop.
And to think my own family did it to me. See, that's what hurts so bad. It's not just the idea of those people living upstairs. It's that nobody ever told me. If you'd stuck a knife in my back, you couldn't hurt me more.
Oh, George.
Thank you very much, Jezebel.
He walks into the kitchen.
What is he talking about?
Let me try talking to him, Mom. Pop,
what is it, Jezebel Jr.?
Look, Pop, I'm trying to talk to you. Will you look at me?
I smell gas. One of the pilot lights must be out.
Hey, look, Mom didn't know anything about the Willises moving, and it was all my doing, all right?
Well, we just have to undo your doing and move out of here.
Hey, Pop, if you're trying to break up Jenny and me, it's not going to work. And it's silly to move out because this building is big enough. You don't even have to see the Willises if you don't want to.
I'll know they're there. I'll feel them. It's just like the princess that stepped on the pea. Lionel, you done me in? I give up.
Lionel leaves his father crouched in front of the stove.
Is he all right? What happened in there?
Nothing. I couldn't get through to him. I've never seen Pop so low before. Well, look, I'm going to go upstairs and apologize to the Willises.
Oh, hi, Grandma.
Lionel kisses her on his way out.
Mother Jefferson, what a nice surprise.
Hello, Louise. I was passing by and thought I'd drop in.
Well, I'm so glad you did.
I figured this would be quicker than waiting for an invitation.
Well, how do you like our new apartment?
Oh, it's lovely. Just beautiful. George has such good taste.
She eyes Louise.
In most things.
George! Your mother is here! George?
I'll get him.
In the kitchen, George sticks his head in the oven.
George! Oh! George, I beg of you, don't take your life.
Ain't nobody taking nobody's life. I got business in there. The potted light is out.
Louise sags on the counter with relief.
I thought you was trying to kill yourself.
What for? I got a family that's already doing that.
He stands.
Well, you better pull yourself together, George. You've got a visitor.
Well, tell him to go to hell. Whatever you say, George, it's your mother.
George sprints past Louise into the living room with open arms and a smile and folds his mother into an embrace.
Oh, son, you have such a lovely apartment.
Yeah, well, get a good last look at it, Mama, because we're moving out.
But we've got a 3-year lease.
That ain't nothing. I'm going to call a real estate agent right now. I know I won't have no trouble subletting this apartment. Maybe even make a few bucks on a deal.
Hello again. I was downstairs in the deli when it suddenly occurred to me that you might not have any food in yet. How do you do? So I brought you some bangers.
Bangers?
Yes, English sausages.
He pulls a string of sausage from a bag.
Well, why do they call them bangers?
I really don't know. Something to do with the after effects, I think.
While George calls his realtor, Grandma Jefferson takes the sausage to the kitchen.
Ah, the funniest thing just happened to me. I got on the elevator with Mr. and Mrs. Whittendale, and I forgot to push the button for my floor.
Whittendale?
Yes, Henry and Janet Whittendale. They live in the penthouse, which is the point of the story, you see? There
Henry L. Whittendale?
Yes, he's a charming fellow. So, as we're traveling upward, you see...
Whittendale Bank, Whittendale?
Right. He's very easy to talk to. So just as we're passing my floor... You...
Boy, that was a great story.
Did I finish it?
Sure you did. It was a great story. You heard how hard I was laughing. Boy, you're really hilarious.
George takes Bentley by the arm and leads him to the door.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Look, anytime you want your back walked on, just bring it on over. Well, what are you waiting for, Louise? Start unpacking.
But you said you'd never live here.
Didn't you hear what he said? Whittendale lives in the penthouse.
Who?
Whittendale, the owner of the bank I do business with.
So?
So, Whittendale rides the elevator, I ride the elevator. Some of the biggest deals are made in elevators. This is my big chance to get to know the people upstairs.
Doorbell, dear. May we come in?
Of course you may.
The Willises enter with champagne.
Now, before you lock yourself in the John again, we just came down to say we think you're wrong about moving. But for the sake of the kids, at least let's part friends.
Oh, but we're not moving.
You're not?
No, as a matter of fact, George insisted that we stay. He said it was his big chance to get to know the people upstairs. Isn't that right, George?
George forces a grin.
That's great. This was supposed to be a farewell gift, but now it works out even better. Here.
What's this for?
It's for drinking a little toast.
Unless you've got a battleship around here you'd like to launch.
Yes, as a matter of fact, my mother-in-law.
Come on now. Let's see a smile on that old kisser, huh? come on. Oh, here it comes, folks. Oh, we're going to be seeing a lot of each other from now on.
Touchy-feely.
Tom engulfs George in a friendly hug. Tom gathers everyone in a group hug. Directed by H. Wesley Kenny. Written by Don Nickel, Michael Ross, and Bernie West. Story editors Lou Derman and Bill Davenport.
Family was recorded on tape before a live audience.
Mike Evans as Lionel, Isabel Sanford as Louise, Sherman Hemsley as George, Madge Sinclair as Helen Willis, Franklin Cover as Tom Willis, Paul Benedict as Harry Bentley, Berlinda Tolbert as Jenny Willis, Zara Cully as Mrs. Jefferson,